Here we are at the beginning of another new year. We've already had one new year, the liturgical year, but now we're into the new calendar year. This is the one that we share with everybody. And beginnings can be hard, can't they? But beginnings can also be easy. Sometimes it's a bit of both. What is this year going to be for us, do you think? When we look at this year before us that's stretched out, do we even know? I don't know about you, but I certainly didn't predict anything about this year last January. Last January, I had some thoughts about what the year might be like. They did not include most of what actually happened this year. We're beginning a new year, but one of the things that we sometimes forget is that just because we've turned a page on the calendar, not as much has changed as we might like, especially this year. There is still a pandemic. We are still meeting online. We are still missing the physical presence of family and friends. Even as we have shrunk our circles, we still have some connection, at least I hope we all do, with someone, but it's not the same, is it? It's limited, and that is going to be going on for the next little while. So does this mean we can be fatalistically, oh, well, this is as good as it gets, people? It's kind of tempting, I suppose, to just look at this and say, well, here we are. We're just going to suffer through whatever we've got, and that's just the way it is. That whole idea of, well, C.S. Lewis summed it up in a letter to a friend of his when he was in school. And he said it was term, term, holidays, and a job, and then you work till you die. There you go. That was life as he saw it at whatever age he was at. There's more to it than that by quite a lot. We can feel this way, and there's nothing wrong with feeling that way. Our feelings are our feelings, and we don't do ourselves any favors if we start thinking that what we feel is what we believe, because often they're not really connected. Our beliefs are the things that we have come to using all of our capacity. Our feelings are how we react to what's going on at the moment, both of which are absolutely authentic, both of which are necessary, but not both of which are the final answer. We can still hope. Even in the midst of the world that we're in, all the difficulties we may have on a micro scale, those difficulties located in our own physical bodies, our own homes, and the macro scale of the whole world with the pandemic and the logistics of getting vaccinations to billions of people, we can still hope. And where do we get this hope this Sunday, other than just gritting our teeth and hoping that we have enough hope? Well, Peggy read for us today from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet. He was also a bullfrog sometimes, but we're only going to be talking about the prophet this time around. And who were Jeremiah's people? Well, when you look at what was read for us, we see this people who are going to be rejoicing and singing and all of these good things. But those weren't his people at that moment. His people were not the folks on top. Jeremiah was writing to the Israelites when they were in exile. So why did he think he could say what he said? Well, he said this because of hope, and not just hope in hope. In the same way that what we trust is only as good as what we put our trust in, our hope is much the same. We can live a life of giddy optimism where we wake up every morning and say that everything is better than it was before, whether it is or not, and it won't hurt us, I hope, but we're better off if we're going to look forward to the future, if we're going to look forward in hope. I think it's better if we have something to put our hope in. And what was Jeremiah putting his hope in? Jeremiah was putting his hope in the goodness of God, not just God as the great judge who had put his people into exile, but God's essential goodness, even when we can't see it. There wasn't a lot of goodness for Jeremiah to see in most of his life. His nickname, if we're allowed to nickname prophets, is the weeping prophet. If you read Jeremiah, it's a long haul, and there's not a lot of delight in it, although we read some of it today. Because Jeremiah got a message from God to give to the people to say, this will happen. And it's important for us to remember that God said that this would happen. He didn't say it had happened. The Israelites were the chosen people, but you know what? We are too. Paul is very clear about this. In the first couple of verses of Ephesians, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We are chosen people. Paul is writing this letter to us. Jeremiah spoke his prophecy, wrote his prophecy. It was recorded towards the people of Israel. Paul, writing under the influence and inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the church at Ephesus, but writing also to us, says that we have been chosen. Goes on to say that we are adopted, that we are at the same relationship with God that Christ has, that we are children of God. We're redeemed. We are the recipients of lavish grace. But all of these things will take time. In the same way that the Israelites heard the message of Jeremiah, and believe it, whether they believed it or not, they were saved from exile, but not then. And when we look at all of those things that Paul talks about in Ephesians, the grace, the wisdom and insight that he's given to us to know the mystery of God's will and all of that, it's not all here at this moment. It's going to be coming. Because these things will take time, whether we want them to or not, just as it did for the Israelites, who most definitely did not want it to take time. There are some differences between us and the nation of Israel. And we saw that in our gospel reading. We have received the word. Richard Rohr, Catholic theologian, has an interesting thought in the translation of the word, which is a perfectly accurate translation. The word logos means word. It means some other things too. And so what Father Rohr has tried to do in capturing more of a understanding of it is he translates this as the blueprint. We've received the word, the blueprint, the Christ, the universal Christ, not just Jesus, the human being, but the Messiah. And that word, this blueprint, this example for us of how we can live our lives, came a long time ago. But because of the mystery of how all of this worked, the word has come, but the word is coming. Is coming right now and will come in his fullness later. It's tricky for us to live in these kinds of tensions. It's hard for us to live between the now and the not yet. We don't like it. We want it all now, and that's okay. That's more of those feelings, and it's okay to feel that. It doesn't make you a bad person, doesn't make you a bad Christian. It just means that you want the good things that are coming to be here sooner. And that's all right. But in the same way that my grandkids wanted Christmas to come sooner, and every time I was with them, they asked if they could open just one present and were just as disappointed every time I said no, not knowing that I was a little disappointed as well. Watching children open presents is a delightful part of Christmas, but sometimes we just have to wait, even if we don't like it. So what does that mean for this year? Well, I don't have a prophetic insight into 2021 that says all things will be well and perfect by a particular date or anything of that nature. That's not my gift of seeing into the future. But what we do have for this year, for this beginning, is we know that we have everything we need for now. In Luther's hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, he says, we have the gifts and all that we need. And he takes that from scripture. He compresses a whole bunch of New Testament texts into one that says that we have the gifts which are what we need for this time so that we might do what it is that we are called to do. That doesn't mean that's all we're going to get. But we have everything we need now. And in these texts, we see the promise for everything later in the fullness of time. When it's the right time, when it's the correct time, when it's the time that God has determined is best. I sometimes wish God took my input a little more. Well, he always takes it seriously, but I wish God took my input a little more concretely. So I could say that I want this all to be better by this afternoon. But it doesn't work that way. I'm not left in a lurch. I'm not left bereft or anything like that. What I'm left with is you have everything you need to do what you need to do today. Maybe not everything you want to, but everything you need to do is within you to do today. And as you do that day after day, in the fullness of time, at the right time, at the best time, everything will come through and everything will be made right. And we will all rejoice, as Jeremiah said, the people of Israel will. We will dance and sing. We will rejoice in the presence of our God in a way that we can't do now. And we begin this year with that hope moving us forward. Amen.